Luke chapter 12, verses 37 and verse 44. This is the reading of God's word. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and to have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. Verse 44. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. O Father, through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done, what he has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, bless us that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us will not only hear your word, but also understand and also believe and also obey your word. We thank you, and we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Like I said, last Lord's Day, through Luke chapter 12, verse 35 through 48, we saw a true picture of the citizens of heaven. And they eagerly wait and prepare and love for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that those who are not living their lives in terms of preparing for the second coming of Jesus Christ are asleep. They are like dead. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. That was the command. The Old Testament Israelites, during the Exodus from Egypt, during the first Passover night, they were told, Exodus 12, verse 11, now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. They were told to be ready to go out of Egypt. They are called to be ready to go out. And Jesus through Luke says to us, you and I, the same thing. This is how we must live our lives in this world. Always be ready to meet our Lord Jesus Christ and go to heaven with him. This is what the Bible means when it says for us to be awake always. Luke chapter 12, verse 37, blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. And Luke 12, verse 44, truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. The good news is that our Lord is coming back. He will come back and give us, for us, all of us, the heavenly banquet. And he will also give us himself and his kingdom as our eternal inheritance. All of his possessions he will give to us. This is our already accomplished spiritual heavenly reality. And when Jesus returns, all this will be visibly consummated. You and I will be able to see all this. And today, we want to look at that more. I mean, I wish I could preach on this kind of stuff every Lord's Day, but we're going through the book of Luke. So today, our focus is Jesus' second coming. Jesus Christ is coming again, brothers and sisters. Revelation chapter 1 verse 7, behold, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him. He will come with great glory. Mark chapter 13 verse 26, then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Acts chapter 1 verse 9 through 11, and after He has said these things, He was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while He was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched Him go into heaven. As the number of all that God has chosen is fulfilled, Jesus comes. The book of Revelation uses the number 144,000, a symbolical number of all who is elected. When that number is reached, Jesus comes. And when He does, the eternal heaven that is already accomplished spiritually, that heaven will be visibly consummated. All the problems of this world will be solved visibly. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming of God. See, this is the unique hope of Christianity. And there is only one hope. And it is the coming of our God. That is the solution to every single problem you could even think about. When God comes, we will have no problem whatsoever. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us, Titus chapter 2 verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God, Savior, Christ Jesus. He has promised to us. He said, yes, I am coming quickly. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 to 4 and 8 to 10. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continued just as it was from the beginning of creation. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away, and the roar and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its work will be burned up. But brothers and sisters, to you, to me, to us, Jesus will not come like a thief. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that they would overtake you like a thief. Why? Because you and I, we are always ready to receive Christ. We live our lives in terms of preparing for His return. Amen, we say, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Brothers and sisters, as we say this, we must realize how blessed we are. To the sinners, the coming of our God is the most terrifying thing, as you could see in the Old Testament. But we welcome His coming. We say, come, Lord, quickly. We are able to rejoice as He comes. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, this is what the gospel is all about. We rejoice His coming back. He has received all the eternal punishment of hell that we truly deserve. And on that cross, He received the judgment of God in our places. So there is no more judgment of God left for you and for me. John chapter 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, He who hears my word and receives Him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So realize, brothers and sisters, as you say, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. And as you say that without any fear, realize how blessed you are. Because sinners will be terrified as Jesus comes. He's coming back. And to us, it is the most blessed day. The most glorious day. That day, our heavenly reality, our eternal reality of heaven will be visible. On that day, it will be clearly witnessed that the Word of God is the absolute truth. That everything that it says, it comes true. On that day, that it will be clearly witnessed that all that our Lord Jesus has spoken are the absolute truth. And on that day, all the glory will be given to Him. All will confess that He is the true God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, so that in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. On that day, even the non-believers, they have to confess Jesus Christ as they see Him. On that day, we will be able to see our Lord's face face to face. Why is He coming? Of course, He comes to judge the world, but for us, He is coming to be with us forever and ever. He is coming to live with us forever and ever. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 10, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with Him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Jesus will come and gather His people from all four corners of this world. He will gather them to heaven and He will gather them to Himself. Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And He will send forth His angels with a great trumpet. And they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, on that day, the image of God that is in us will be perfectly consummated. You and I will be resurrected to a glorified body. And we'll live with Jesus Christ with the glorious, ever-shining body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet would sound and the dead will be erased. Dead will be raised, imperishable, and we will be all changed. Brothers and sisters, from that day on, we will no longer sin. And God will not even remember our sins. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 12, for I will be merciful to their iniquities and I will remember their sins no more. There is no more temptation to sin. And there will be no more enticing by our own lusts. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4, for by these Jesus has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Did you hear that, brothers and sisters? We have become partakers of the divine nature. And that is already our present spiritual reality. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2, beloved, now we are children of God and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him because we will see Him just as He is. Oh, on that day, we'll be just like Jesus Christ. Of course, we're not going to be gods, but in His humanity, we'll be just like Him. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, for I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. On that day, His work, God's work in us will be perfected. And because there is no more sin, there is no more death, and there is no more guilt, and no more curse. Revelation 22 verse 3, there will no longer be any curse. As the holy bride of our Lord Jesus Christ, we will receive the perfect love from our eternal husband, Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 21 verse 2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, for in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Did you hear that? Who is beautiful bride? Well, that's the bride who obeys their husband. This is why you and I are going to be so beautiful bride in heaven. Why? Because you and I will obey our husband, our Lord Jesus Christ, perfectly. And that's the beauty of the bride, obeying their husband. And that's exactly what we'll do in heaven. Obey our husband forever and ever. Jesus will love us perfectly and we will love Him perfectly. We will love each other perfectly. Oh, brothers and sisters, there will be no longer death, mourning, crying, pain. Revelation 21 verse 4, and He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. The reality of all our tears being wiped away, that will be visibly consummated on day. It is our spiritual reality even now. Do you know, brothers and sisters, that Jesus has wiped away every tear from your eyes? It doesn't look like it, but you have to believe it. I believe. Even as I face certain things that I must cry, but I believe that He wiped that tear away from my eyes forever. And one day when I see Him face to face, I will never cry again. Because there will be no more pain, no more suffering from that day on. And there will be no more this world. Complete exodus from this world. Oh, how I long for that day. No, it's not that I want to commit suicide or that I don't care about my life here. I do. And I want to live my life with full effort to bring glory and honor to God. But if He allows me, I'll go. I'll go to that other world to see my Lord face to face. And there will be nothing and no one that we will love more than Christ. That Jesus Christ, we are able to give all our love to Him. And He will receive what He truly deserves. Our full 100% of our love. And until that day, I can't do it. No matter how much I try, I can't give Him 100% of my love. And that bothers me. But I long for that day. When that day comes, I am able to do that. Because that's what He deserves. From me and from you. Yes, brothers and sisters, on that day heaven will be visibly consummated. And it will be filled with glorified people of God. Also, it will be filled with God's glory. It will be filled with the fullness of Him who fills all in all. It will be filled with the presence of God. God will be with His people. Revelation 21 verse 3 and verse 11, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. Having the glory of God, her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. This reality, God with His people. And that is what heaven is all about. That God is with His people. You know, so many dumb people focus when it comes to heaven. They focus on the other things of heaven. Oh, they say, oh yeah, we're going to find so much diamonds and gold or whatever they think it's going to be. But for you and for me, our whole focus is Jesus Christ, our husband. God is with His people. That's what heaven is all about. And that reality, brothers and sisters, that God is with His people, this is the reality of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is God with man. He's 100% God, at the same time 100% man. See, even heaven, you have to describe it in terms of Jesus Christ. If you want to know how heaven will look, look at Jesus Christ. God with man. See, this is the reality of heaven. The union of the fullness of man and the fullness of God. Colossians chapter 1 verse 19, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him. Colossians 2:9, for in Him, Jesus, all the fullness of deity dwells in the bodily form. So let me say this again. God fills His people with His fullness, and God fills heaven with those people, and heaven is the true temple of God, and God is present in it and fills it with all of His glory. But the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the true temple. Revelation 21 verse 22, I saw no temple in it, for the God, Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are His temple. And the Bible also tells us that we, His people, are also the temple. So let me say one more time, God's glory fills in us, and God fills heaven with us, and God fills heaven with His glory, thus heaven is filled with the fullness of God and the fullness of man. And again, this is the reality of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how Jesus is. Let me read to you what Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, verse 11. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. And if you go down to verse 21, that they may all be one even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, and that they may be perfectly in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. God and man. It's hard to picture this, but somehow they're united and they're one. That's the salvation that Jesus Christ accomplishes. And when that day comes, when He comes, that reality will be visible. I don't know. I cannot explain how. You, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may be in us. This reality, like Jesus Christ, God and man being one, this is the reality of heaven. Of course, we do not become gods, but God and us are one spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, but the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with Him. That passage, that sentence, is very similar to what we already know. That man joins himself to wife, and they become one flesh, just like it. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with Christ. Heaven will be just like Jesus Christ. God is with men. So when we see Jesus, we are actually looking at the reality of heaven. And I'm not saying Jesus, you know, that body itself is heaven. But you could see that we have to define every single thing in the Bible in terms of Jesus Christ. Because if we don't, then we're wrong at that point. God is in us, and we are in God. God fills us with His glory, and God fills heaven with us, and God fills heaven with His own glory presence. God fills His temple with His glory, but Jesus is the temple, and we are also the temple. All sound complicated, but it is all about Jesus Christ. He is the union between the perfect God and the perfect man. Jesus is God, man, united. He is the reality of God in man and man in God, and that is the picture of heaven. God is with His people. But remember, brothers and sisters, when we look at Jesus Christ, that He is the union between God and man. But what is more amazing is that you and I, we are the same. I am God with man. Because God lives in me, even now. Do you see when you look at me, God is with man? This is who we are. That's why heaven has been already arrived. Heaven has been already accomplished in you. Because you are also God with men. On that day, we will understand all this. This glorious heavenly reality much better. It's just amazing what Christ has accomplished for us. And He's going to come back. And when He does, all will be visible and we will understand much better. But even with not much understanding, it's beautiful to me. It's glorious. And gives me so much joy to know as much, as little as I know. And I want that day to come quickly. Because I want to see this glorious sight. And give our Lord Jesus Christ all the glory He deserves. Now, I was debating whether I would end the sermon here or say a little bit more on an important principle. And since I know I have some time, let me do that. Let me end this sermon with very important biblical principle. I read to you 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 before. Let me read that verse again, but let me read also verse 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be just like Him because we will see Him just as He is. And verse 3, and everyone who has this hope fixed on Jesus purifies himself just as He is pure. So, what is God saying? If you want to live a pure life, if you want to purify yourself, then you must understand that the way to do so is to have the hope of heaven, is to have the hope when Jesus returns, you will be just like Him. Whoever has this hope will purify himself, Bible says. So if you want a purifying life, What do you need to do? Do your best to live that purified life? No. Because you have no power to do so. But Bible tells us what we must do. We must have hope of heaven. Then we will purify ourselves. Bible promises it. So this is the biblical principle. That's why I don't tell you, go your best. Try to live obedient life. Oh yeah, you're going to be able to do that. I don't tell you to do that. But I will tell you, have hope in heaven. Have hope that you're going to be just like Christ when He comes back. Then Bible promises me that you will purify yourselves. Do you understand what Bible is teaching? You need to have your eyes focused on heaven. Otherwise, you will not be able to live that life that pleases God. You can't. But look, all you think about, all your focus, it's not heaven. It's this world. That's why your life as a Christian is not a good one. The motivation, the reason, the purpose has to be the hope of heaven, the hope of being just like Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Verse 11 says, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Holy conduct and godliness. God commands you to live a holy life, but the motivation that God gives you is that one day when Jesus comes, everything will be destroyed. If this is how it's going to be, then think, then how should you live? This is God's argument. So if you want to live that holy life, you got to understand how when Jesus comes, the whole world will be destroyed. And if you understand what that means, then it will give you motivation, purpose, understanding, reason why you should live that holy life. Do you understand the argument that Bible is making? It's not just you. Okay, I'm going to stop lying. Okay, let me do that. It's not going to work. Yes, you might change a little bit. You might lie a little bit less, but that's not how it's done. That's how the world does it. World, they do it that way. But biblical way, you have to have your eyes focused on heaven. First Peter. Romans chapter 13. Do this knowing the time that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Do you understand the argument? God says, get rid of all those work of darkness. Why? Because time for Jesus coming back is near. That's the motivation. That's the understanding. It's not about morals. It's about Jesus Christ. Otherwise, it's not Christianity. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 13 and 15, therefore prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you the Holy yourselves, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Again, same argument. Now, brothers and sisters, please understand this. In order for us to live a holy life, we must have our eyes focused on heaven. This is what the Bible says. And I want, as a pastor, I want you to live that holy life. Then, if I want you to live that holy life, what should I teach? I should teach you to have hope of heaven. Because once you have that hope, you will purify yourself. Bible says. If I keep telling you, live that holy life, live that holy life. Oh, that's wrong. Stop doing that. Doing this. Live that holy life. It's just not going to work. That's how the world teaches you. What does the Bible tell us? Why the Word of God is not fruitful in our lives? Because our eyes are focused on this world. When you do that, you might be rich in this world, but you cannot live a life that is pleasing to our Lord. Mark chapter 4 verse 17 and 19. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction of persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. But the worries of the world and the deceitful of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. If you're focused on this world, and you have so much worries about worldly affairs, it will choke the word, Bible says. It's not going to be fruitful. Don't worry about the world. Don't worry about what to eat, what to wear, what to drink. Focus on heaven. Obviously, when you do that, people are going to mock you. People are going to think you're the most, whatever word they might use. Seriously, they will laugh at you. What do you mean? There's so many important things you must do in this life, but you just focus on heaven? Yes, that's what you must do if you want to live a Christian life. Let me truly end. The Bible describes the life that is lived by Christians who focus on their eyes on this world this way. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 22. A dog returns to its own vomit. That's the life that so-called Christians who live their lives focusing on this world. A dog returning to its own vomit. Why would you want to live like that? Stop it. But even stopping it, you need to focus on heaven. Brothers and sisters, you are not like that. You are not asleep, because we are awake. We long for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We live our lives in terms of preparing for His second coming. Colossians 3 verse 1 and 2, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Let us continue to focus on heaven, longing for that day when we will see our Lord face to face. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Oh Father, we love you. And Father, we join John, who wrote the book of Revelation. We join him in saying, Amen. Come quickly, Lord. And even as we say this without any fear, we know how blessed we are. Oh, Father, bless us that we may continue to have our eyes focused on heaven, have our eyes focused on Jesus Christ, who is coming back. We give you all the glory, honor, and power. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.